Baby, start this one.
Welcome to another episode of
This Thing Called Marriage.
Demystifying marriage.
I think we can just, from now on, say where we demystify marriage.
Where we demystify?
Demystify.
Demystifying marriage. And we're so excited for today's episode.
Yeah, we are.
What are we talking about?
Are you comfortable?
I'm comfortable.
Or do you need to get comfortable?
I'm comfortable.
Well, I'm getting comfortable. In case you don't know, that's the title. Yeah.
Literally, it didn't occur to me. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's called getting comfortable.
Getting comfy.
Do you want to do a summary of the topic first?
Okay, so basically, this topic is talking about in marriage or, you know, in a serious relationship, but I think we're focusing on marriage. How people get too comfortable, you know, too complacent under the umbrella of I am now married, I have settled, I don't land.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's like, you know, when you get something that you want, you tend to get comfortable. It's just like how you hear people saying that since when he married me, stopped chasing after me, like he stopped. I mean, I feel
putting
like
in the effort.
I feel like it's not really the same energy you used to it's not. Wait, let me explain something.
I want to hear
Let me explain something. Now you are looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
You use all your energy to find the job.
Mm-hmm.
When you now collect the job, is this the same energy that you used to hold down the job?
To be honest, you are not supposed to approach it with the same mindset of I need to attain this thing. But many people will tell you that it even takes a lot more effort to maintain the job than to acquire the job.
Yeah.
Because the job, what? You just put your CV on, have like, what, 3 interviews.
I have another analogy.
What?
Is it the same effort you used to cook food that you used to eat it? You cook food for how many hours? 3 hours, you eat it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, you're basically negating our topic by saying that.
No, that's just something to ponder on, okay? But let's delve into the topic. Yeah, so what does it mean to get comfortable? Getting comfortable, like we already said, it's just about, you know, getting complacent, getting, you know, I don't land, having that mentality of, well, I've got it now, it's in the bag, so, well, I can chill and all that. So,
and the trick about marriage we found is that the day you actually get married, the wedding day, is just the beginning of the entire journey.
Yeah.
But because it's done with so much celebration, you know, celebration is always tied to accomplishment or you've achieved. It's literally, in marriage, is the only time that you celebrate before you've done nothing. Like, you throw yourself a big party just for saying, yes, I do. Just like, imagine signing a contract to deliver containers of this. And just when you sign the contract, you've not done anything. Then they now start praising you. Wow, well done. Good job. And the funny thing, society actually also plays into that. They start treating you a certain way because you are married. You've not achieved anything.
You start getting a bit more respect
from
people. People start
looking at you in a different way, and all of that. And you've not accomplished anything. You haven't even held the house down.
Is it fair to say marriage is not, and getting married or wedding is not necessarily an accomplishment? Is building your marriage?
Building your marriage should be celebrated.
More.
When you have anniversaries for years and things like that should be more celebrated than the wedding day.
Yeah.
But the opposite is the case.
Yeah, people don't really sell. Yeah, I think I quite agree with that. And before we go like all the way into marriage itself, let's go back a bit more to before you get married. I believe before you got married, you were in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Well.
Well, except it was arranged.
If it was all those, you know, those husband that you win like lottery.
How do you win a husband?
I don't know now. A lot of things are going on out there.
Right.
So you've not had 24-hour miracles.
Oh, okay.
I received my husband today.
Okay, fair enough. And I've seen things like that, actually.
Yeah, people have actually shared testimonies or stuff like that where they've gotten married within a year or something like that.
Yeah, so within months, actually.
Within months.
Within a year.
Exactly.
Within a year is normal now.
Yeah, within a year.
Within 3 months, you see man, see you.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Talking stage, 2 days. The next thing, what's up? You go marry. Yeah, things like that happen.
In case you don't know.
Well, let's track back a bit. Relationships, yeah. So I remember something where that happened during the COVID pandemic. Now, when the COVID hit in 2020, a lot of people, a lot of couples who were dating started cohabiting, started living together, not married, you know, just dating. They started living together. And this was some news that was going viral. And it so happened that before this stage in their life, they were just, you know, seeing each other every once in a while, or sometimes stay 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or sometimes even live, together for a long period and go home, or things like that. But during COVID, a lot of people, because of they didn't want to be alone. They were spending a lot more time with their partners.
Yeah,
and it so happened that those relationships didn't last longer than COVID.
And I think that really highlighted what this topic is about, where you get comfortable too quick, it can have a detrimental effect on your relationship.
Exactly. So, because you would find that if you live in, the longer you live with someone, the more comfortable you get. And so if you're doing, I mean, first of all, I do feel if you're not, this is just a sidebar, I feel like if you're not married, you shouldn't live long term with someone. You shouldn't live full time. I mean, I believe that you should
speak your mind now.
I believe that you should there should be a bit of cohabiting before you get married, just a bit, but not full time. Maybe a week or a month or things like that. But I don't think you should. Why are you doing your nose?
I'm not doing my nose.
You're twinkling your nose.
I'm not twinkling my nose.
You are twinkling your nose.
But people, please.
What do you want to say? Basically,
what I was just going to say is that I would avoid it as much as possible. And it's because of the construct of a relationship is very different from construct of a marriage.
Marriage, yeah.
And so, like, living with someone, that requires a lot of intimacy and stuff. And I don't think you should be able to trust for people with that if you're not married.
If you're not married. Well, like, people would say, the difference between a marriage and relationship is you've legally bounded it. You've said I do. You said for better, for worse,
and in front of people.
And in front of people. So in a and that makes sense, because in a relationship, like, exactly, during COVID, for example, in a relationship, a lot of people broke up with their partners because maybe they found out their partner snores, or they found out that he doesn't close the toilet seats, or pet peeves?
Pet peeves.
Pet peeves. Or some wet things like that, or they just found out that they couldn't put up with how annoying their partner could be sometimes. Maybe all fights that just never got resolved.
And obviously, those are not things that build a marriage, or they are not things that should not be able to be tolerated.
But the thing is, with marriage, I feel, correct me if I'm wrong, with marriage, you're sort of forced to tolerate some things. You said for better, for worse. But in a relationship, at any point, you can decide, you know what, I didn't sign contracts. Bye-bye. Just like with a company, if you don't sign an agreement to fulfill this contract, if along the line you don't want to work with them again, you can just say, you don't have to give notice.
And that's where the danger is. So because you've signed a binding contract and, you know, you're forced to be committed to this relationship, then people just show up doing the barest minimum.
Exactly.
Because they know that, they cannot be fired. Imagine getting a job and they tell you that this is not only a permanent contract.
It's a lifetime contract.
It's an infinity. Yeah, the jobs like that in and their role.
Yeah, they are actually lifetime contract,
Where it's like salary for life or something like that. So imagine how much effort an employee will put on a role that is like a role for life compared to another role where you're on
probation.
First of all, first year probation. Then after first year probation, second year, it determines your bonus, all those kind of things. So
you can think of marriage this a relationship this way. Now, a relationship is a probation period where you guys can get to say you're not doing it again. But marriage is when you've signed your permanent contract. And that is the period where I feel like people need to put in more effort, because you have said you are spending your life with this person. But what I've come to observe, I've only been married for 2 years again, but what I've come to observe, you can fall into if you're not careful. You get lackadaisical, you get careless, carefree. And I will use myself as an example. When I first got married, it was a thing, I just felt like, well, I've got her now. What am I going to do again? I can't keep chasing her now. Would I? But then I got to realize after some fights that we had, I'm taking her on more dates than when we're dating.
Yeah.
It's called dating, mm-hmm. but I'm taking her on more dates after marriage. Mm-hmm.
What? Mm-hmm. That's how it's supposed to be.
That's what it's it's weird, but it's the fact that because you've got to like keep putting in more effort.
You have to keep the energy. You have to maintain, put the pressure on. I mean, it's whatever you put into your marriage that you get out of it at the end of the day. So if you don't put any effort in, then the marriage will be also like that. If you put effort in, obviously there's also a balance because you're not trying to get the person. You already have the person, but you're just basically treasuring the person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's a two-way thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because marriage at the same time is supposed to give you some level of security.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Supposed to give you some, as a man, for example, now, I put in a lot of energy to find you. Yeah? I put in a lot. Yeah, I did, honestly.
Okay.
I didn't invest.
So you want return for your investment?
I invested. Come on. Right. I invested. So it's like now that it's harvest time. So, I will still be.
That is fine.
I will still be investing
so,
more.
Wait, let's do it now. Seed time and harvest. You dated for how many years? Three years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Harvest time, Abi.
Yeah.
If you know anything about farming, you know that the sowing period is longer and the growing everything is longer than harvest. Harvest is just one day you pack all the crops. Have you harvested enough? So after you've harvested, what happens? You plant again.
No, that's not what happens. Actually,
you plant again.
You have to clear the land.
There's no harvest in the future.
You have to clear the land.
Do you want a future without harvest?
Wait, no, that's not what happens.
Continue to sow the seed. All the seed that you sown from the beginning, it has finished. It has actually
But you
finished.
Have to clear the land first.
It has clear the land. In fact, rest the land. After you clear and you rest, you sow again. It's ongoing. Thank you very much.
Okay, so basically,
What
is this?
Well done with the sewing. More grease to your elbow.
Basically, what we're saying is that from what I've observed, so it's great to have security in your marriage. It's great to come to the point where you feel comfortable.
There should also be liberty. We're not saying that you should now be killing yourself every day. Live your life, enjoy your marriage and all of that.
Yeah.
But always have it at the back of your mind that you still have to work at this thing. It's not automated.
Yeah.
Like marriage is not automated. It requires a lot of work.
It does.
And there are obviously going to be situations that are out of control. That from the outside, it might look like somebody is relentless. So like your example of taking me on more dates now. There's seasons where that can happen and I can't now be on your neck. Like, you have to take me on dates. There's also room
for
understanding.
In situations where, for example, where your partner has got health issues and all that. A good example is if your wife has got health issues or your wife is pregnant, you can't expect her to keep doing everything that she would normally do. She can't put in as much effort into our marriage as she would.
In those situations... Yeah. You go into your reserve mode, but you can only function based on what you stored in the past.
Right.
So someone is willing to cover for you now because you've given them so much in the past and they have like, this person will normally do X, Y, Z. I will cover up for her because I know this is temporary. She'll pick it back up, you know, after some time. But if you have no reservoir, you have no seed in your ground.
So it's just
now what's come and harvest.
So it's just like when a man, for example, like normally, maybe let's say a man, like when you guys got married, financially it was okay, this one, that one. So he was always taking you on dates, was always doing this, doing that, doing everything you get. And then
Gucci.
And then somehow his finances dwindled. And then obviously he can't do those things again. The lady can easily go to a reserve and take something. But assuming when you were financially okay and you weren't even doing those things, when you're not financially okay, it's like, it could do anything in the first place. So why should I?
There'll be frustration. There'll be backlash. And it's not because she's a gold digger.
Yeah.
It's because there's nothing in the reserve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wisdom.
Yeah.
So basically, all I'm saying is like also be wary of out of situations out of control where your partners cannot really give in as much as they would.
That should also trigger you that when you can now give, overgive so that you can basically save for the future when there are times where you might not be able to give as much. Yeah.
Let's see from another angle now. Comfortability mm-hmm. with your partner. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing in recent times I've come to understand is people change, people evolve. The me you see today might not be the me you see tomorrow. If you see me today acting this way and I'm acting like this tomorrow, it is not because I was fake yesterday. It doesn't always mean that.
That is a very, very hot topic.
Yeah.
You're not the husband that I married. That is a very, very common statement that people always make.
Yep.
And although there might be some people that are fake.
That faked it. Just to get you to get married.
Just to get you that.
I knew a guy. He said this to point blank that period that don't worry now. He said, when I impregnate her and marry her, then she'll see my true color.
Wow.
He did say that. Wow. He's not married today, thank God. And I'm happy.
I'm honestly happy.
Wow. I'm honestly happy. So
you're happy that he's not married to you today?
Because of that statement.
That he has not changed. Like, you should pray that he should change so that he can get married.
When he changes, he will get married by God's grace. Because I don't want someone to fall victim of that. Because it can be depressing for a woman. Imagine you know your man to be a certain way all your life. And then, literally, a week after, a month after you get married, drastic change. A man that's been caring for you so well. Mm. 1 month into marriage, you call it slap. Mm. He has not touched. Honestly, don't let's see. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. Maybe not see that kind of evil. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about...
That got dark quick.
I know. But what we're talking about is the fact that your partner is still growing, no matter how old he is. A 50-year-old man is still growing. He's still evolving. A 30-year-old man, she's still evolving. And the funny part is that the eye you know today can drastically change to somebody totally different tomorrow.
Might not be overnight, but the change would happen. Yeah.
And I think an example is me. Before we got married, I was more of... Was I an introvert?
I would say you're an extrovert.
I was an extrovert.
But not extreme.
Yeah, but I was an extrovert. But when we got married, I was gradually an extrovert. But over time, I became more introverted. Mm-hmm. Then I became extrovert again. Mm-hmm. And she, on the other hand, was jaddy, sola. She loved to go out. When we got married, after at some point, she just loved her comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Does it mean that she pretended to me to be a jaddy, sola? Do you understand?
Yeah.
And not just that, okay? It's also the angle of this woman now, I see it as I have not encountered every aspect of her.
Right.
There's an aspect of her that even she herself, she's not hiding it though, but situations has not allowed her.
Has not been activated.
You know how they say some people, it's until money comes that you know their true color. Mm-hmm. But there are some people, it's where money goes.
That you also know their true color.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
It shows their other aspects.
I think it's very similar to what we're saying, I think, in our last episode, where we're saying our relationship together in the span of our whole life, we've still not done the math.
Yeah.
But like, in the span of our whole life has been very short. And there is no way for you to have to cram the data or the knowledge about one person into that your short relationship, however it may be. Because whoever you're with was already an adult before you got married to them. So they've lived a whole life before you got married to them. And so there's a lot of information that you missed. You are late.
Exactly.
You're very late to the party. There's a lot of information that you missed. And when we say getting comfortable, we're basically saying that in your approach to discover, to learn more about your partner, don't be comfortable. Don't just assume this is how they are. Don't just put them in a box. Don't just say, this one will never change, or this one is always like this. Just because of maybe, you know, situations in the past, something they've said, something they've done, one event that you've encountered, you've already labeled them for life that this person is too brash. Yeah. This person is too this. Because there's so much time to grow, to change, to develop, to become somebody totally different. So don't be too comfortable, because your partner can actually just change.
She can switch you.
Yes.
Okay. And I can tell you for a fact, she can switch.
No, I'm not taking no comments. No comment to that comment. And then it's like when people say stuff like, oh, why men cheat, or they're looking for something else. Have you finished? Have you finished what is in front of you? Because people are like whales. We're like, we have layers to ourselves, yeah. And like, you've not even imagine eating half, like one bite from pizza. They're now going to go and order a brand new meal when you've not fully enjoyed, you know, yeah, the person that you have in front of you.
Yeah, and I guess that also, now that you mentioned this, I guess it also points to something that as an individual, a man or woman, you know, also try and discover more parts of you. Sometimes just shock your partner. Just shock your partner.
Yeah.
Switch things up.
Don't be predictable.
Exactly. Don't be predictable. Do you understand?
You're saying one sentence before you finish.
Sometimes I will see. You see this thing they call Eckhart with a man. This is our makeup. Honestly. Sometimes I'll just decide I'm going bald. I'll give you a new part of me you've not seen before.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll just decide, you know, I want to go and do one style. I'll just give it to you. Sometimes I'll decide I'm wearing suits for a period. And that time I'll decide I'm wearing native. Never let them see you come in.
It's actually really interesting that you say that, because when we have topics like this, the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, you're basically trying to say women should not be wearing boo-boo in the house. Like, it's always women that it comes to first.
But
like,
even men, too. Appearance. Even men.
But do men actually pay that much attention to
exactly
their appearance?
We throughout every day in the house, I wear that same shirt.
The same boxers.
In fact, I remember my father. There was one time my father had this big white singlet. Every time, we just seen patrolling the house with it. It got to a point, my sister and I was like, okay, we are changing this. This is, I'm not joking, BYC singlet. He had that singlet for years. He did not change it. It was what he wore around
his
house.
That was his lounge wear.
Exactly, but your lounge wear, you spend more time in your lounge with your partner
than when you go out.
Exactly.
Yes.
So your lounge wear has got to be looking prim. It doesn't have to be seductive, but it's got to look like...
It could be.
It can be seductive if you want, but it's got to look, you know... Never let them see you. Never let them know your next move. That's what I'm saying.
Definitely very
the
important.
The unexpected. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. Even you sometimes, you know, you understand how sometimes you just decide, say, you know what, from nowhere, let me just go and check this YouTube page. Let me do this new meal. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's not every day, rice and beans. No, sometimes just switch it off.
Don't be too comfortable.
Seafood something. You don't understand. All these things that...
Carbonara.
Don't be too comfortable. That's the point. You understand?
That aside,
and this is what leads to the final thing I wanted us to touch on. Now, see, it's one thing that I think has always... endangered marriages that I have seen, and I'm always very careful about, is to make sure I never see my wife finish. It's a very dangerous thing. When you get too comfortable with your partner, you tend to just, is it more than this?
Yeah.
Do you understand? You see her finish, like, well, is it not the same? She's my wife now. After all, she'll come to bed. We'll do our thing tomorrow. Your life becomes a routine. And that happens when you've seen your partner finish. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it's like when you just feel like it comes when you're too familiar.
Yeah, too familiar.
Yeah, because the saying says familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah.
And so it just brings room for disrespect, rudeness, not being able to appreciate the value that someone brings to the table.
Yeah.
Just because you see, like, one thing that we all take for granted is the air that we breathe.
Yeah.
And it's truth. Like so vital. If you can't breathe, it's not gonna take long.
And that's why they say you don't know the value of something until you lose it. Don't wait till you lose something until you know the value. Now that you've got it, still, like, sometimes, I'm very careful to ensure that I take like particular care when she complains about something, because I respect her opinion. She wants to be heard, so I'm. If she complains about something, I'm quick to bring a solution to it. Do you understand? So don't see your partner to the point that, like, do you understand?
Yeah, they will say something and it just flies over your head. Or you don't put in the work or go the extra mile to actually try and make them happy and things like that. And I suppose with everything that we're saying, there's always a balance to it, because you don't now want a situation where you're giving, you know, feedback to somebody, and then they take it so deep to heart because they're trying so hard to work on it. They're, you know, so desperate for your approval, so desperate to make you happy. I want to make you happy. That's when it's slowly becoming unhealthy.
And a bit toxic.
A bit toxic, because at the end of the day, that liberty, that comfort should be there. But it should not be like, if I don't make her happy today, she's going to kick me out of the house.
It should got to be comfortable. I mean, if you care for yourself as much as you're caring for your partner, I guess that's what we're saying.
So you can put your best foot forward.
Quick question, Kemi. Yeah. Is it everything? This is just a sidebar, you know, just you talking about comfortability. Because there's this saying about you should be able to tell your partner everything.
Mm.
Like, whatever, tell your partner everything and anything in your soul. After she's your partner.
Open book.
What do you think about that?
Obviously, that's always been my mantra, that I'm an open book and everything. But I think I've learned differently in this past 2 years that we're not saying be deceitful.
Yeah.
We're not saying or withhold the truth or something like that. But there are certain situations that you have to mind how you say things. You need to care about your partner's feelings as well.
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to be tearing your partner down and giving them additional insecurities that the world has already put on their heads.
I mean, there's some information that you could give to your partner that will do more harm to your partner. For example, it's not everything, for example, my parents would tell me that I'll necessarily tell her.
Especially because I don't know his parents that well.
I've got to shield her from my parents. I mean, we're talking about something a few days ago about the fact that just like on first dates, you don't necessarily tell the person you meet on your first date everything about your life.
Well, if they ask you, don't lie either.
Yeah, but if they ask you,
somebody should ask you, for instance, somebody, you're a serial killer now.
Yeah.
No, you're not a serial killer. You have killed somebody.
Yeah.
But you've gone to jail.
Yeah.
And you have been acquainted.
Yeah.
And on your first
out of the blue, just come out. Have I killed somebody? I will question you. There's a problem.
What if it's the Holy Spirit inspired?
I beg.
Inspire me.
How can you on the first date ask me if I've killed someone? There's a problem.
But the question is, what will you say?
If I've killed somebody and I will tell you the truth. To be honest, if you ask me directly,
so even though we're saying filter things out, there's a line between applying wisdom.
Yeah, exactly. And, application of wisdom.
You know, delivering your message in a certain way. And then there's just being dishonest and just lying.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I guess what we're saying is, we are not necessarily advising you, but from our understanding is, it's great to be comfortable in your relationship. It's great to be comfortable in your marriage, but apply wisdom. Like, be smart about how you do things. When you're going to, there's some information I'll get from my family, for example, when I'm saying it to my wife, it can never be the same way my mom, for example, has said it to me. I would filter it, adjust it to our own hearing, to suit her, because I know her. My mom doesn't know her as much as I know her. My mom doesn't sleep with her. I am the one, so I would know how I would say it to her. And that's why I kind of likened it to...
And this was actually something that I had to learn.
Learn, yeah.
Because I'm very, very honest, very integrity.
She doesn't lie. She's a Christian. I don't lie.
Transparency and all of that. But there's actually a limit.
Yeah, there is.
There's wisdom and then there's being honest. Yeah. There's honesty and there's wisdom.
That's why I likened it to the to first relationship, first date in a relationship. On the first date, people are usually more careful.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? You're not too carefree. You're putting your best foot forward. So the same thing when you are in marriage. No one is saying that you should not be
yourself.
Or feel free. But you should be careful that this is a human being.
Yeah.
You are actually nurturing one another. You know, no one to even say what you're supposed to say. No one to do what you're supposed to do. I like to treat my relationship as if I'm still on my first date. On my first date, I'm still like very careful. Me, fair, she's a baby, she's my darling, she's this one, that one. I really want her to like me. I'm not going to be deceitful, obviously. She'll get to know some other things about me, do you get? But I should treat it as precious. I want it so bad, and I will do whatever it takes, you know, to get it.
In a nutshell, always cherish your marriage and make sure that you go at it with the same energy that you had from the very beginning. Keep the pressure on. Keep the energy.
According to them, you have to add more energy.
Add more energy. If not, if you think your marriage is harvest, and you are not sowing, just harvest, perpetual harvest.
Yeah. But anyways, that's just basically what we've got to say on today's episode.
We hope you enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah, we hope you were comfortable listening to it. I can't help but stop.
Let it go.
Yeah, no, I've got another comfortable joke.
No.
Sleep comfortable tonight?
No, let it go. Let it go. Let us know what you think. Make